You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony Peyton Manning is on today's show. He's going to promote the Manning Cast. Tony Kornheiser, what a gig that guy has, bickering on television with someone he loves. What a formula that is. I wish we had done that.
We're not suggesting that Peyton and Eli stole our deal, are we? We're not about to suggest
no.
that.
And you know what? Their show's really good.
They are really good.
And a lot of that has to do with chemistry, yeah. Which is an interesting word. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We will get to Team USA's loss to Germany in the FIBA World Cup in just a moment, but we begin today with Detroit Lions getting a pick six off a drop pass by Kadarius Toney and upsetting the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City last night, 21-20. Neither Travis Kelce nor Chris Jones played for the Chiefs. Kelce was hurt and Jones remained unsigned. Wilbon, was this about the Lions being good or the Chiefs not having Kelce and Jones?
Both. And Tony, when you have a one-play game, one play makes all the difference. It can flip the game, can flip the result of the game. You know Travis Kelce can make one play, and you know Chris Jones can make one play. So anybody who doesn't understand that is too foolish to talk to. So we set that aside. This game was much more important to Detroit. The game means nothing to Kansas City. Now, I know Kansas City's got Jacksonville, I think, on the road next week. And so, you know, you can get to a point where you lose a couple of games and go, wait a minute, this thing has moved out of control. We're not near that point for the Chiefs. But the Lions are the team that people like me, who have followed the Lions, you know, one step removed in Chicago all my life. And there are people like me who say, I don't believe in them. They've got to show me. And last night was a step in that direction for Coach Campbell and the Lions team, which Tony did. I mean, you go in there and win, even if they don't have Chris Jones and even if they don't have Travis Kelce. They had the MVP they played against, and they kept him in check. Now, Kansas City dropped a lot of balls. The receivers got to get better. But I thought that game meant everything to the Lions. It should. It did. And they handled their business.
Love to disagree. Not going to disagree with a word of that. I know what you think about the Lions.
Yep.
You watched them watching the Bears all those years. You think they're losers and clowns because they have been losers and clowns for many, many years. I would point out that they closed the year last year 8-2, that Jared Goff last year was one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, and that Dan Campbell, who appears to be crazy, may just be crazy like a fox. I agree with you that it was more important to Detroit probably than it was to Kansas City. Detroit had to show that it wasn't a fluke. Detroit opened the last two seasons, Mike, the first eight games of last season, the first eight games of the season before that, 16 games, they were 2-14. So psychologically, winning this game is an enormous boost for them. I am like you. I don't think this is the end of the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
But I do think it might be the beginning of the Detroit Lions. I do.
Yeah, it would be an exciting thing. I'm less than excited considering that's my division, and I got another horse in that race with a building team. Detroit's clearly ahead of the Bears, and everybody's picking them to win that division this year. But Kansas City, Tony, I will say this: the Chiefs can be stupid if they want, or they can get Chris Jones in there. You got all these defensive players now make a lot more money than Chris Jones, who's a beast, who's their MVP on that side of the football. You got to have some defense. You just can't ask Patrick Mahomes to score 40 every week. Sign Chris Jones.
One small point to be made here.
Okay.
You take away that pick six, that's not on the defense.
No,
defense gave up 14, Mike.
That's right.
You give up 14, you win.
Yeah,
80% of the time you give up 14, you win.
Right? That's why you and I we're not throwing in the towel quite yet on the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's move to Team USA losing to Germany in the semis of the FIBA World Cup this morning. Team USA was down 12 in the second half, cut it to 1 in the final 2 minutes. They're set up. You think they're going to win? They lose by deuce. Germany had a 12-8 advantage on the offensive rebounds, recurring storyline there. Tone, how should we feel about American basketball being relegated to playing for the bronze rather than the gold?
Yeah, well, I think if you're on that team, you got to feel awful because the United States is not supposed to lose to Germany. Okay, in soccer, sure, but not in basketball. You don't lose to Germany. And then they played them twice in the last 3 weeks. In the first game, Germany was up by 16 in the second half, lost the game.
Yeah.
But in the second game, Germany won the game. So if you're Steve Kerr and you're looking forward to the Olympics, you have to take the realistic assessment that the team that's out there now was inadequate. And in the Olympics, it's going to be harder because Antetokounmpo is going to play, because Jokic is going to play, because Wembanyama is going to play. So you got to have a little bit more bulk and a little bit more size. I don't think you need LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. And I know you like Steph Curry on a team. I don't think you need
him.
But I think you need three guys. I think you need to have Booker.
Okay.
I think you need to have Tatum and Mike. More important than them to me is you need to have Anthony Davis.
Ooh.
Because if you look at the top 10 Ooh. Rebounders in the NBA,
yeah.
other than Anthony Davis, they're all foreign-born players.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is important.
I got another name for you. Given Anthony Davis's health and how many games can he play at this stage, Olympics, yep. getting ready for the Olympic season, I don't know that that's reasonable. I love Anthony Davis. I don't know that's reasonable. Bam Adebayo is one, and okay. Mobley is another. So there you get guys who are, I don't know, I don't want to say stronger because that may not be it, but it seems like they can play more games and they rebound. And they, you're right, Tony, inadequate's a great word. I like you. I don't think that, I mean, KD and LeBron, they owe Team USA more. No, they don't. If they want to play, fine, if they want to. But Tony, I'm like, see, I think Steph Curry, who I don't think has a gold medal in the Olympics, Steph Curry, it makes sense he might want to play, and Booker and Tatum. So there's some flex. So you don't have to revamp the team. I like the core of the team. Let them stay out there together. I mean, LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo, they were on a team that lost. Therefore, there's a thing called a documentary, their Redeem Team, and a nickname. They lost. They were allowed to evolve and mature and get better and win. And these guys need to be out there with supplemental help. I agree with you. Inadequate. But Tone, American basketball, this ain't 1992. The best players in the world are in the world, not necessarily in the United States.
I understand that.
And this is a reality that has to be dealt
with. I don't think the World Cup is a big deal. I think the Olympics are a big deal. I think you look at what you have and you say, how do we get better for the bigger deal, the Olympics? We move now to tennis. Last night, you were 1-for-2 in people you were rooting for, Wilbon. Coco Gauff won after a bizarre 50-minute delay because of a climate protest. After that match, Madison Keys lost in the middle of the night to Aryna Sabalenka. After winning the first set 6-0 and being up in second set 5-3, Wilbon, what did you make of last night's results, and do you like Goff's chances against Sabalenka?
And being up in the third set, I think 4-2. Tony, the Keys loss bothered me so much, I almost couldn't sleep. The Keys loss bothered me much more than Team USA losing in basketball. Because Madison Keys is somebody I root for, but Illinois girl by birth. I root for her. And she's just irresistibly pleasant and charismatic in a different way from most tennis stars. And so she's leading this match, and I'm crazily screaming for her. And she's got Sabalenka. She bagels her. And then her serve and her backhand desert her at critical times in the second and third sets, and I just went nuts. I hated it. And Sabalenka's screaming at the box and throwing rackets, and Sabalenka's like, stop. Why do all these tennis players have to scream at their box? You just missed a shot by 15 feet, and you're screaming at the box? My God. Gauff will beat Sabalenka. It's her summer. It's her time. She will beat Sabalenka, period.
I was very confused with what happened last night. I was watching the first match. It got to 1-0 in the second. And then the women sat down, and I figured that's a changeover. But they kept sitting. 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes. And then Mahova left the court. She just left the court, took all her rackets, left the court. And then there's a shot of her being attended to by a trainer working on her abdomen. I thought she was going to forfeit. I thought there was a medical issue. And then Gauff left the court. I didn't know what was going on. Now, you know when you watch, you're just sort of watching, you're not listening carefully. So I must have missed what Pam Shriver said about a climate protest. But, Mike, it gets to 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
50,
you say to yourself,
minutes.
I'm out of here. I'm at the football at that point. I'm out.
Oh,
I can't watch this anymore.
Thing.
So that's what happened. It, very briefly about Goff. Sabalenka is going to be the number one woman in the world,
that's
and she's
right.
won the Aussie. And in all four majors, she's gotten at least to the semis. She has to be the favorite. But like you, I believe that it is the summer of a 19-year-old Coco Gauff, and I think she's going to win.
She's going to win.
Let's take a break. Coming up, what sort of challenges could Aaron Rodgers face with his new team? We're going to ask Peyton Manning.
We're also going to ask him how much of a difference Sean Payton's going to make with Russell Wilson in Denver. Sabalenka, she can miss a shot by 20 feet. She turns and starts screaming at some dope in the box. I mean, tennis.
You do this whole show screaming.
Okay,
you scream.
I get paid to scream. She gets paid to win. She won. She won.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get back into the NFL with a man who won 5 MVPs and 2 Super Bowls and now co-hosts the Monday Night Football Manning Cast with his brother Eli, our new best friend, Peyton Manning. Peyton, let us start with this. Chiefs receivers dropped several passes on Patrick Mahomes last night. This must have happened to you over the course of your career. What do you say to a receiver or do with a receiver when that happens, or do you say nothing?
No, I think you definitely say something, and I think there's kind of something to say during the game that is, positive. Look, you want those guys fighting for you. The last thing you want to do is embarrass them, berate them, where they just stop running across the middle for you, right? So, but I think it's something you definitely address after the game. Are these guys practicing, right? A couple of those receivers missed some training camp. They weren't participating in practice. Practice matters, right? It makes a difference. With all apologies to Allen Iverson, I think you need to practice, especially as wide receivers. And so I see Patrick kind of getting with those guys today and next week saying, hey, let's get our extra throws in. I don't want to hear the fact that Travis Kelce didn't play. That's why we lost this game. If we catch the ball, we probably do win that game. So being sure we're doing the right things during the week, I think Patrick will address that.
Peyton, it's impossible not to look at Anthony Richardson starting for the Colts and not think back to your rookie season. Nobody plays great as a rookie. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger did, but it hardly ever happens. So what do the Colts need to do at the top of your priority list to support him and get whatever it is they can get out of him as soon as they can get it?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for bringing up my rookie season. I really tried not to think about it. 3 wins, 28 interceptions. Boy, great memories. It's funny you say that. About 20 minutes ago, I texted Anthony Richardson, said good luck. He wrote back, any advice? And I said, play smart, not scared. Take what the defense gives you. No need to force anything. Completions, 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 and have fun out there. Easier said than done. But I do think what you said is exactly what the Colts need to do. Shane Steichen needs to help Anthony Richardson. We need to run the ball. Give him the plays that he is comfortable doing. Put him in the right situations where he's not having to make these throws that he's not used to making. He's super talented. He's athletic. He's worked hard to earn this starting job. but Shane and the Colts need to help him by putting him in the right situations, and it would help if that defense stepped up and played well at the same time.
All right, we're going to go from a rookie to a grizzled vet, and you know a lot about this location, this venue as well in Denver. I'm of the opinion that Russell Wilson is going to be a lot better this season under Sean Payton, but is that automatically a situation that's going to make him better, or is learning a new system, yet another new one, is that a burden?
Learning a new system is a burden, and that's real. And I see the Broncos and Russell getting better throughout the season. I think it'll be hard to be a perfect product here in week one against the Raiders. It's his third system in 3 years. Unlearning your old system is hard at the same time learning a new system. And Sean's system doesn't have a lot of carryover from the previous two that he's been in. But look, Sean Payton is going to coach him hard. Russell wants to be coached hard. There's no doubt he will be better, and the Broncos will be improved. It might not happen right away, but I see the effects of Sean Payton's coaching paying off, and I see Russell having a better year for sure.
I will get you out of here on this, and it also has to do with Denver. You've got the Bills and the Jets on Monday night, and I'm going to speak for Mike and myself. The thing you do with your brother is wonderful.
Awesome.
And that's going to be
awesome.
A great game to actually do, the Bills and the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, late in his career, going to a new team. This is what happened with you in Denver. What did you find most challenging about that circumstance?
Well, I appreciate you asking, and I appreciate your comments, Tony. We do have the Jets, Bills. A lot of Jets fans that I didn't know existed are coming out of the woodwork, right? I mean, some big-time celebrities. I'm like, I didn't know you were a Jets fan. He's like, yeah, I haven't told anybody for 20 years. So a lot more options to pull from as far as guests, but it should be a great game. Look, it's all about the Jets. It's funny, the Bills are flying under the radar. They've been one of the best teams in the league. Aaron, I can tell, is rejuvenated. He's having fun out there. Look, it's different for me. I really didn't want to leave the Indianapolis Colts. That was the team that drafted me. I was happy there. You know, I got hurt. Draft Andrew Luck, things happen. Aaron, you know, was ready to move from Green Bay, and he's been clear about that. But I can't tell you the advantage he has of having a play caller that he's worked with in Green Bay. He knows the language. He knows the system. He will play fast out there. He won't be thinking a lot. He'll know the system better than anybody. That is a huge advantage. And I didn't have that right away in Denver. We sort of grew to that. Brady didn't have it right away when he went to Tampa. They finally figured out, oh, maybe we should start calling the plays that Tom's been running for 20 years in New England. They figured it out and ran the Super Bowl. The Jets have it figured out. I see Aaron playing well Monday night and throughout the season, and that defense is going to help him a ton. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, okay? I'm just going to tell you right now.
Good, good, because this is the Jets' one highlight. Joe Namath, this, pointing the finger 100 years ago. Thank you, Payton.
Thank
it's
you,
a great
Payton.
Pleasure.
Appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Man.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
You can watch the Manning cast on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus during Monday Night Football. It's really good. I'm just adding that parenthetically. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Joe Burrow gets a huge new deal.
And what should we expect from Deion in Colorado against Matt Rhule and Big Red, Nebraska, tomorrow? I know what I'm expecting.
It's interesting. It's interesting that Peyton talks about the rookie season. I mean, everybody thinks if you're a great quarterback, you're great from moment one.
Nobody.
It's not true.
Nobody.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 33rd birthday, Gerrit Cole. When Cole left the Astros as a free agent and signed with the Yankees, the total package was $324 million, the highest all-time for a pitcher. That was after the 2019 season. Since coming to the Yankees, Cole is 49-23 with a 3.17 ERA and 104 starts. This season, Cole is a leading Cy Young candidate. He's 13-4 with a 2.90 ERA and 29 starts. His 195 strikeouts are third in the American League, behind Kevin Gausman of Toronto and Pablo Lopez of the Twins. This would be Cole's first Cy. Cole's career record, 143-75. Career ERA, 3.20. He is a six-time All-Star.
Yeah, but he didn't win that World Series last year, did he? How, I mean, how great would they be if he was still with Houston? I mean, formidable and world champions already, but how much better would they be with Cole's numbers, those numbers in that lineup still in that rotation? Just got to wonder.
That's right. But how much richer is he with
He'd
the Yankees?
He'd be rich either way.
A not-so-happy anniversary
no taxes,
to Dwayne Rudd.
Texas.
On this day 21 years ago, in one of the most bizarre endings ever to an NFL game, the Browns linebacker threw off his helmet to celebrate what he thought was a Cleveland win in Week 1 over Kansas City. Rudd believed he had sacked Chiefs quarterback Trent Green to end the game. But Green had lateraled the ball to lineman John Tate, who ran it down to the Browns' 26-yard line. Rudd's unsportsmanlike penalty extended the game, and 42-year-old Morton Anderson kicked the winning 30-yard field goal for Kansas City. This is so Cleveland, isn't it? This is in the DNA.
Yeah, Tony, I was at a lot of that stuff too, the fumble and the drive. I was in Cleveland for those things. The Cubs beating Cleveland in Cleveland to win the World Series after 100-plus years. It is. And you know what? Cleveland is still a great place to go and watch sports. The most underrated big-time sports city in America is probably Cleveland.
Happy trails to last night's game for Ecuador. You think Lionel Messi is only a goal-scoring machine in the MLS? Think again. Messi got the only goal last night as Argentina beat Ecuador 1-0. To open their qualifying process for the 2026 World Cup. Messi scored on a left-to-right bending free kick in the 77th minute that the Ecuadorian goalie could only watch in dismay.
Ugh.
Messi, who appears to score in every game for Inter Miami, actually has scored goals for Argentina in its last eight games. Argentina, the defending World Cup champ, is now unbeaten in its last 22 World Cup qualifying games, dating back to 2017.
You know what's kind of amazing, Tony, is that Messi is so relevant. Even nearly a year after the World Cup, he's so relevant while Ronaldo is where? Now, Ronaldo's getting like 100 mil plus, so nobody's going to need to throw him a charity event. But I'm just saying, if you're talking about who's out there front of mind, wow, Messi's way out in front of Ronaldo.
I will say this. I love the pink jersey that Messi wears, but the Argentina jersey is the one I've
pretty
seen
classic.
For an awful
That's
lot of
classic,
years.
Yeah.
I really am. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals agreed on a new deal worth $219 million guaranteed. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. He's the quarterback. He's your franchise player, and you think you're going to have him. You hope you are. Leading you into contention for at least 10 years. Yes, makes total sense. Ronald Acuna Jr., homer twice last night, and the Braves went over the Cardinals. How significant is that?
Well, I think he's the MVP of the league. He's already 30-60. He could get to 40-40 or 40-70. No one's ever done that. Mookie Betts of the Dodgers left the stadium in Miami on crutches after fouling the ball off his foot. Is that cause for concern?
Maybe not, because the x-rays are reportedly negative. You need Mookie Betts. You can coast. You can rest him. You can coast into the playoffs and get him right, because you need him. 11th-ranked Texas at 3rd-ranked Bama tomorrow night. What do you expect?
At Bama, I expect Bama to win. Last one, Nebraska at 22, Colorado tomorrow at noon. What do you expect?
More Deion, more Shador, and more Travis Hunter. How about that? That's what I expect.
How much more Travis Hunter? You already did
Maybe
100
not much.
Plays. How much
Maybe
more
not
is
much
it?
More.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. We are back on ESPN Monday. How about that? Enjoy football Sunday, week one. PTI.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.